Just think for that in a moment. What makes a relationship stronger? I want us to consider an aspect of who God is and try and answer that question from the Bible. As you know, I love quoting the Bible. That is why we are here. We don't want to make followers of man. We want to make followers of Christ. And so we value the Word, and we value the revelation in the Word. And I want us just to look at this question of relationships from a biblical perspective, from God's perspective. And what I love about the Word of God is it is God speaking. It has authority in its revelation of who God is and how we should live. And so this morning I want us to look at the Bible in answering this question, what makes relationships stronger? And I'm going to start right in the beginning in Genesis 1 verse 1. Look in the beginning of all things. It says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. It's such a powerful revelation of who God is. And if we think about it, meditate it for a moment, what power and intelligence was behind creation? The universe wasn't always there. It had a beginning. God was the beginning of the universe. God created it. God purposefully thought and put it into place, into existence. And God could have created it any way He wanted to, but He chose to create creation the way it is. I've been meditating on this concept just about the sun. I mean, the sun is a ball of fire that keeps on burning. It is just the right distance from the earth to sustain life. And it continues to burn. Who created this? What intelligence, what mind has thought to put life in such balance with so many different factors? Heat, oxygen, gravity. There are just so many different factors that keeps life, that sustains life, that makes life possible. Who is this God? So powerful. And there are billions of suns out there. Billions of planets. And everybody's trying to find another planet that has the same physical and natural laws that sustains life. And they can't find any. They can't find another planet where the physical laws is in such perfect balance that it can sustain life. God in His wisdom created all the physical and natural laws and put it in perfect harmony and balance to sustain life. If you change gravity, if you change the makeup of the air, if you change the distance from the sun, if you change any of these factors, life will no longer be sustainable on earth. Just like it is not sustainable in all the planets that we know. It's not sustainable. Because the physical laws that sustains life is not in perfect harmony there. Yes, Jupiter also has gravity. But it's too far from the sun. The atmosphere. It has atmosphere. But not the right balance to sustain life. And so God in His wisdom could create the universe and the earth in any particular way He chose to, yet He chose to create the earth the way He created it with all these physical and spiritual laws to sustain life. The same God who created the universe created man. He created us. It's amazing if you think about it. But the same God that created humanity in his wisdom put us together uniquely different to the rest of the animal kingdom. We are made in his image and likeness, different to the rest. And it's so interesting to read the insight that the Word gives us into how God created through the Word. And then he made man differently. He didn't just speak it. He actually came to the earth, took dust, and made a male human, Adam. The first man was God came, he shaped him from the dust, and then he breathed his life into him, and Adam became alive. And then fascinating, we read here in Genesis 2, and the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. It is not good for males to be alone. Have you seen a male hostel? You just leave guys in house. We used to rent a house in London to, you know, we had boys or men houses and girls houses. When people came to London, we provided accommodation for the guys and for the girls. And I remember when we had to hand those houses back. You had the girl houses and you had the guy houses. Hallelujah. It took us weeks, literally, to clean the boys' houses. It was just a mess. It was just, I don't know how they do it, but it's not good for them to be alone. And they need a helper to make life better for everybody. And so God also said, you know what? It's not good for man to be alone. And then, so interestingly, what God did is before he made him a helper, he first took man and showed him all the animals that he made to find him a helper. Not that God knew he wouldn't find one, but God wanted Adam to figure it out. So he brought all the animals before him and he named everyone, but he could not find a helper compatible to him. God says, okay, now let me help you, Adam. And then we read here from verse 21, and the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And God took one of his ribs and closed it up with flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord had taken from man, he made into a woman and brought her to man. What a powerful, different way of creating woman. God created women differently. Men, have you noticed women are different to men? Now, one of the first things that you see is that God created man, humanity, different to the rest of creation, and then he created the male, and then he made the woman even differently. And then here we read on in verse 24, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. The God who created the universe, who created humanity, also created marriage. The single most powerful reality in any relationship, whether it's friendship, singleness, or marriage, that have a positive, transformative, and lasting effect is God. God Himself. You can leave that scripture up there. God could have created the universe in any way He chose to, but He created it with natural and spiritual laws that sustains everything. The laws of physics, chemistry, gravity, air, sunlight, life, the perfect balance for natural, of the natural laws sustains life. And if you change anything in the natural laws, you will either gradually or suddenly cause life to end. If you change gravity, the atmosphere, if you change the natural laws, life will either gradually or suddenly cease. The same with the spiritual laws. There are spiritual laws that governs life. The amazing thing about the Bible is the revelation of who God is, but also how we should live before Him. So through the Bible, we not only know who God is, what is His character, and what is His will, we also know how we should live in relation to this Creator. And so powerfully, the first revelation of who God is that He is the Creator of heavens and earth. In other words, He has all authority, all power, all wisdom, all knowledge. He's completely different to us in His power and wisdom. We cannot create the sun. We cannot put it in its orbit. We cannot keep it there. We can't even figure it out. We're still trying. But the same God that created the universe created marriage. And so the first revelation of who God is the fact that He is the Creator. The first revelation of how we should live before God is marriage. Who He is, how we should live. The first, it's not the only revelation of who God is. No, the Word continues to give far more insight into who God is and His character. Marriage is not the only way to live before God, but it is the first revelation of how we should live before God. And it's so interesting to read that. God made humans male and female. It's fascinating. God in His wisdom, who created us in any particular way He chose to make man in His likeness and His image, male and female. And then He said, I want you to become one. He made us differently. He made us differently, male and female. There's a massive difference. And God purposefully made us different. He made us distinctly different with different strengths, weaknesses, and roles. And so we see, first and foremost, that marriage is God's idea. Secondly, that marriage is between a man and a woman. Marriage is not designed to be between a man and a man. That's not God's design. As a matter of fact, if marriage was same sex, you could not procreate the image of God. You cannot have children. God designed it physically and spiritually that you cannot procreate the image of God same sex. It's got to be a man and a woman together that procreate the image of God. As a matter of fact, if all marriages were same sex, humanity would die out because there won't be children. And so God in His wisdom has placed physical and natural laws. And one of the first things to notice is that God makes us differently with a purpose. If you break creation laws, physical or spiritual, it will lead to conditions that are no longer suitable for sustainable life. It will cause decay, decline, corruption, and death. The third observation from Genesis 1 is that God deliberately wants the two that are different to become one. It's amazing. God purposefully made us different, but He wants us to become one. Men and women are different. If you didn't know that, you will certainly know that after you married. Women are different to men. That makes them attractive. That makes them intriguing. That makes them fascinating. They're different. But it's also naturally necessary to be different. Not just biologically for procreation, but it's also necessary to help us to change. We need to change to become more like God And so God has made us different to put us together, to help us to change, to become more like Him. So men, if you can't always understand your wife because she thinks, acts, and reacts differently, that's God's design. She's meant to think, act, and react differently to you. It is not her fault. God made her different to you, purposefully. And there's a reason for the difference. There is nothing wrong with her just because she's different. She is designed to help you to change. And so too, wives, they are so different, but they are meant to help you to change. Change from what? Change from having a self-centered expectation of fulfillment to a new revelation of loving together to become more like Christ. And so you need the difference to help us shape each other to become more Christ-like in our love for one another. My wife is so different to me. She is completely different to me. And I am so grateful that she's different. When we got married, even the pastor said in his sermon, you are perfectly incompatible. And how true it is. You know, we are so different to one another. But I am so grateful. You know, there was a pastor in the 1960s. He wrote a letter to his daughter who were about to be married. My wife read the book. I don't know the author or the title, but you can ask her. But one of these things that stood out for her in the book that I still remember is the father told his daughter, my girl, you must remember the woman is there to civilize the man. And how true it has been in our marriage. My wife civilizes me. She helps me to dress, to think, to act in a civilized manner. If she left me on my own, I would not have been here if it wasn't for my wife. If it wasn't for the difference of my wife. If it was not for Lisa's difference, her influence, her challenge, her love, her faith, her patience, her encouragement, her advice, her agreement and her disagreement, her honesty and her respect, a prayer and a help, I would not have been here today. I am so thankful for having a wife so different to me, who God has placed in my life to help me to change, to be less self-focused and more other-focused, to think less of my own needs and my own desires and my own wants, but to consider someone different to me, to listen and to heal, to put myself second for the sake of the other, to take in consideration a difference of opinion, perspective. I am a better man today because of my wife that is so different than I. And I'm so grateful for that. And it's God's design. God used my wife to help me to change and to improve me. And my wife still has a long way to go. I think that's why God put an age limit on life. Lisa, it's okay. He can't go past 120. It's just, that's the limit. You just need to, it's a lifelong adventure together. And the longer we stay together, the more, not only do I change, but our marriage grows to become stronger and better. Not just because we understand how to deal with our differences, it's because God helps us to change, to deal with the differences. And so I change to become more like Christ in my relationship towards my wife. And so I learn to be more patient, to be more loving, to be more forgiving, to be more caring, to serve because of God in my life. And that's one of the reasons why God made us different. God wants us to become one and grow to understand each other and love the differences, complement each other, serve and help one another to become more like Christ. And God wants us to remain together so that we can get it right. That's why marriage is a covenant, a lifelong commitment. Andries, she's different to you to help you to change, to become more like me, and you're not allowed to get out. You stay with her. She's there to help you, to change you, to be more like me. And that's why Christian marriage is completely different to a secular marriage. And I make the distinction, unfortunately, God's intention for marriage is universal, but there is a difference in how the world sees marriage and how God sees marriage. There is a difference in its purpose. The world has a purpose for marriage that is different to God's purpose. And so we have marriages that is according to the purpose and the philosophy and the desires of the world. And then there are marriages according to the purpose and the desire of God. And I want to share with you the differences between the two. God wants us, first and foremost, to remain together forever. He's made us differently, but He wants us to be one so that we can help one another to become more like who He is, but also remain together so that we can get it right. I mean, that's why Matthew 19, Jesus answered and said to them, "Have you not read that He who made them in the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then, they are no longer two but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate." Christian marriage is a covenant, a lifelong commitment until death do us part. And praise God, 120. It's the max. So you have at least, depending on what age you married, my wife pretty much has 98 years. Max. I married her when she was 22. I was 28. And she's gone a long way. But she still has a long way to go. I'm far from perfect. But I'm so grateful for her in my life. Another aspect that is so powerful in marriage is the fact that God is love. Why does God make my marriage stronger? Why does God make my relationship stronger? Whether I'm single or married, why does God make relationship stronger? Because God is love. That's why God in my relationship makes my relationship stronger, for He is God. Love is a powerful, positive, transformative reality that makes relationship stronger. But God's definition of love, not the world's definition of love. The world's love is emotional, but God's love is covenantal. God chooses to love us. The emotions follow the choice. The choice sustains the emotion. The covenant, the commitment. The world's love is emotional. Emotions can change. You can fall out of love. Your love can grow cold. Emotional love can change into resentment and bitterness and hatred. But God never changes. I am so grateful that God's love is covenantal. So God loves me. And there's security in His love. The world's love is emotional and conditional, but God's love is eternal. And I'm so grateful that God loves me this way. Because I'm not perfect. I'm not close to God's perfection. I am not compatible to Him. I'm not. And yet, He still loves me. Even though I'm not perfect. Even though I'm not compatible or comparable. God still loves me. With all my faults and shortcomings, He has patience, has grace and mercy towards me. I am so grateful for God's love. And that's the main difference between a secular marriage and a Christian marriage. The one is based on fulfillment on self and the other one on a covenant. The world's idea of marriage is inherently self-focused. The world's idea of a wife or a husband, a spouse, is finding a perfect soulmate that accepts me as I am, that will never want to change me, who are perfectly compatible to me, are low maintenance emotionally and physically, and will always make me happy. Does that sound familiar? Someone that is perfect for me. Someone who is just like me, who wants everything I want, and will never want to change me, and are low maintenance. That puts more pressure on my spouse than God ever does in marriage. God never expects my wife to be perfect for me. The world expects my wife to be perfect for me. She must make me happy. She must not want to change me. That is a perfect soulmate. The Bible never puts that requirement on marriage. My wife doesn't have to be perfect for me to love her. The challenging thing is, in the world, if you no longer make me happy or meet my expectation, I will leave. If you're not like me, compatible to me, I'm going to leave you. I'm going to find someone else that is perfect for me, who will make me happy. And would not want to change me, but accept me as I am. This view of marriage and its purpose for self-fulfillment places far greater expectation on marriage than God does. You are constantly under evaluation whether you are perfect for me. You constantly are being weighed. Are you right for me? And if you do not measure up to my expectation, I can leave at any moment because there is no binding commitment. One of the reasons people live together and don't get married is because they think they can have all the benefits of marriage without the commitment. I can have all the benefits without the commitment. I can have sex, I can have relationship, I can share, I can have economic benefit, I can have all these benefits for me, without making a commitment to stay. Because if you don't meet these commitments, I can go. As a matter of fact, it is so expensive to divorce these days. I mean, one lawyer in our church said, you know, you're actually quite foolish. You should charge for marrying people. Because you know how expensive it is to divorce them. Maybe you should charge more to marry them. but if I can have a relationship with all the benefits without the commitment, why not? And the other reason why people don't marry is because if you can divorce for just any reason anyway, what's the point of marrying in the first place? If I can divorce for any reason, there is no real commitment. But without the commitment, you miss the most important and greatest purpose of marriage. Without commitment, you don't have true intimacy. You don't have transformation. you don't become more like God in your relationship, reflecting His character. Because without commitment, I don't have to forgive. If this is not lifelong, I don't have to forgive you. If this is not lifelong, I have a limit to my sacrifice. If this is not lifelong, I'm only going to give what if I receive. Because this is no longer beneficial to me. You see, the Christian marriage is not primarily sustained on you making me happy. It is sustained on a relationship and a covenant with God. That sustains my marriage. To love you the way God loves me. That's the Christian marriage. I commit myself to love you the way God loves me. Through a covenant. That is not based on your performance. You don't have to be perfect. A covenant is, I'm not just going to feel loving towards you. I'm going to be loving towards you. Whether my emotions lead me or not, I'm not just going to feel loving. I'm going to be loving. I'm going to be caring. I'm going to be forgiving. I'm going to be serving you. Because the one that I love forgives me, is patient with me, is caring towards me, loves me despite my imperfection and all my flaws. He never stops giving, loving, forgiving. And so what I receive from Him, I am going to bend towards you. And I'm going to be forgiving. I'm going to be caring. I'm going to be loving. Because the one who loves me commands me to do the same. And so if you have two people who live in such a way where we love each other the way we are being loved by God, your marriage cannot fail. It can only grow stronger. I've come to the conclusion, if two people love God more than they love themselves, their marriage will never fail. If you love God, two people love God more than they love themselves, their marriage will never fail. Because whatever love they receive from God, they're going to reflect towards each other. That's going to be caring, loving, forgiving, full of grace and mercy. Putting themselves second for the other. That's a Christian marriage. It's meant to reflect God's character through the way I love my wife. Through the way I love my children. And so does my children can see through the way I love my wife how God loves us. And how my wife loves me to see how we should love God. And so, Christian marriage is different to the world's marriage. Because in the world, it's about me and my desire, where Christian marriage is about God and His desire. And the amazing thing is, if you follow the spiritual laws for marriage, it will lead to a blessing. If two people love God more than they love themselves and love each other the way God loves them, guess what will happen to their marriage? It will just get better. It will just get stronger. And it will become more intimate. It can be intimate because there's a commitment that no matter what happens, it will not reflect our relationship. I can be intimate, vulnerable, and honest before you of who I am. You can see all my weaknesses and all my flaws, and I know it will not end our relationship. And so I can be honest with you, and I can pray with you, and I can bear with you, and I can be cared and helped and encouraged to become better and to overcome my flaws and my weaknesses, to become more like Jesus. And so there's an environment where we can grow in our character, in our nature, to become more like Christ. But you need another in an intimate relationship so that you can be vulnerable to change and open to change. And that's the beauty of marriage. Bringing two different people who are imperfect together forever to change, to become more like Christ, who loves us who are imperfect, so that we may learn to love the imperfect and to deal with our own imperfection. And so I need to change to become more like God so that I can love you more the way He loves me. And so marriage, Christian marriage, is this beautiful reality where the different encourages one another to become like Christ in loving each other, caring for one another, and reflecting God's love for us. Why does God in our relationship make such a difference? Why does God enable us to do this? Firstly, because God is relational. The reason why I can say to unbelievers, you need God in your life and you need God in your marriage, it's because God is relational. That's what, one of the reasons, by the way, where God says, listen, one of the spiritual laws of marriage, Christian marriage, is you must not marry an unbeliever. Marry a believer. Because if two people together love me and want me to help them to become more like me, you will benefit. Because when two together serve me, I will help both of you to become better for one another. It's one of the reasons why God says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Because your value system are completely different. You don't have me. And so you have a set of values and motivation to love and to care, but you have somebody else that is selfish and self-centered. You think they're going to respond in the same way? You hope they do, but they probably have limits. And I'm not saying marriage with unbelievers cannot work. I'm not saying, but I am saying this is what God says. This is just, you want a happy, stronger marriage? Well, start by marrying a Christian. Start by marrying a Christian, if you're still single, that are more mature than you are spiritually. I say more mature because I want to app, this is not the Bible, practically, if you're still single and you're looking for a life mate, find somebody that loves God more than you do. Because that guarantees. it's not a guarantee, but find somebody that loves God more than you do. Because then you know your marriage will be based on His love for God, not only in His love for you. Because if marriage is only because of my wife's love for me, guess what happened in the first year? She discovered she didn't really know me. She discovered stuff of me that she didn't know. And that's why sometimes marriage in the beginning is so rough, because you think you fall in love with somebody you know, but you don't really know them. You only learn to know them through marriage. And then you learn to know yourself, because you almost always discover how selfish you are. And so in this environment, you get an opportunity to change, but I'm getting distracted. That was free for somebody who's still single. If you have God in your relationship, He will lead you to grow and change, to become a better person towards the spouse, because you're going to reflect His love. And that's why God, in any relationship, is a positive, transformative, and lasting effect on any relationship, because God is relational. We see it in the Trinity. We see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God is relational. God is relational, so if we bring God into any relationship, that will grow. God is relational. And we see He's not self-focused, but other-focused in the Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They love one another. They honor one another. They care for one another. They share with one another. They plan together. They create together. God leads, He submits, He honors, He humbles, He serves, He sacrifices. We see John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He sacrifices. God humbles Himself to become one of us, not to be served, but to serve, and to become a sacrifice for us because He loves us. And so God, in our relationship, has this powerful effect. We have a third party that is perfect. It's the only third party allowed. We have a third party that is perfect. I'm imperfect. My wife is imperfect. But we have God that is perfect. And He's relational. And we can learn from Him. And we can ask Him to change us. God is willing to suffer humiliation, pain, death for our best interest, for our good, for our restoration, and ultimately to have a relationship with us. And why is this? Because God is not just emotional. He's covenantal. I made a promise. I'm going to keep to my promise. That gives us great confidence. And so God created us in His image and likeness, not only so that we can have a relationship with Him, but God created us in His image and likeness so that we can have a relationship with one another. In the same way that He loves us, we can bend it towards others to love them. And that's especially true in marriage. Marriage grows stronger because of God's love for us. Is it always easy? No. Is it always beneficial to me at the time? No. Does it require putting me second at times? Yes. But that is love. That is true love. That is unconditional, sacrificial love. It's the way God loves us. It is the manifestation of God's love in this world through us. And so God calls us as His people to be different to the world. We are called to be different. We are called to be different because the world's values and purposes are different to God's values and purposes. And so God calls us out of this world to follow His ways and His purposes. And in becoming like Him in marriage, through the way we love each other, we become different in the world. And the world can see through our marriage God's love, God's ways. And God's get glorified. That's what it means to be light and to be salt in this world. We are different. Not just to be seen, but to be different. Salt. We are called to be different. And the amazing thing is, if we follow God, there is a blessing, there is grace that enables us to change. God doesn't leave us alone. He said, I've given you my Spirit. I've given you my Word. And so together we know God's ways. We know His spiritual laws. We know the natural laws and we know the spiritual laws. And we apply those things because we love God. And then because we apply those things and we bend what we receive from God to one another, our marriage grows stronger and better. And it becomes a witness in this world. And people look to us as Christians to see, why are you different? And then we have the opportunity to tell people why. Because of God's love towards us. Why are you so patient? Why are you so forgiving? How can you possibly forgive him for that? Well, because God forgave me. And he continues to forgive me. And again, if you have two people doing that, your marriage will just be stronger. I want to conclude with this. Two scriptures and then I must land. 1 John 4 verse 11 to 12 says, Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected, complete in us. John 13:34 says, A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you may also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So marriage is not just about us. It's about reflecting God, his will, his way, and his character, his love in this world. And so our success in life, our purpose in life, is not to be the best doctor, the best pastor, the best engineer or plumber. Our purpose in life, as a married couple, is to be the best Christian in marriage. To reflect Christ-likeness as a husband. And to reflect Christ-likeness as a wife. That is a bigger purpose in life than your career. Your career is secondary. How we live as Christians is primary. And so your marriage is more important than your career. Don't sacrifice your marriage for a career. You're not going to get rewarded in heaven because you were the best doctor or the best plumber or even the best pastor at the cost of your marriage. We are called to be the best in reflecting God in our relationships, through a relationship with him. And as we grow and change in our relationship, we bend that into our careers. We build in our careers his faithfulness, his excellence, his commitment, his love. And you will grow in your career also. But don't sacrifice your career for your marriage. Your marriage is more important than your career. And so you need to ask God for wisdom if the two is in conflict. Don't neglect your wife and your children because of success in a career. But ask God for wisdom to build in your marriage and your family and in your career. And get that priority right. If we pursue God, he will bless us. And he will prosper us in what we do. So I want us to close our eyes and give us an opportunity just to reflect on God's word. Reflect on what he says. What stood out for us this morning. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. Lord, we thank you to be reminded again of your word, your ways, and your desire. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that we know you not only created the universe and sustain everything, you also created marriage, and you can sustain it by the same spiritual laws. Lord, I pray that you will give us the faith and the courage, Lord, to turn to you and to hold on to you, Lord, to trust you. Lord, give us the grace, Lord, to bend what we receive from you, your mercy, your grace, your forgiveness, your patience, your love. Lord, help us, Lord, to change, to become more like you in our marriage, in our singleness, in our careers. Lord, help us to become more like you and reflect you as we bend what we receive from you. Lord, help us to live in such a way that you are glorified by our lives. Lord, this morning is an opportunity, Lord, just to reflect again on your love for us and our response. And so this morning, God, we want to take an opportunity to give ourselves as a living sacrifice for you, to love the way you love. Thank you, God, that in it comes a great blessing and grace. Help us, Lord, to honor you through our marriages, our singleness, and in everything we do. I'm going to give you an opportunity just where you're seated, just to speak to the Lord yourself. Just make a commitment. Speak to Him about whatever stood out for you this morning. And ask Him for grace. Make a commitment to reflect Him and to bend what you receive from Him. Ask Him for grace to change you, to become more like Him. And see how your marriage, your relationships flourish because of Him with you, changing you. Let's just do that. Let's just take a moment and speak to the Lord. If you are married and you are here this morning, won't you just turn to your spouse? And ask God in their presence to help you to change. Help you to become a better spouse for them. Would you just do that too with one another? Single, will you ask the Lord to help you to honor Him in your singleness? Father, I want to pray this morning. I want to pray for all our marriages. Lord, I want to pray that you will bless our marriages. Not with no difference, no confrontation, no change. But I want to ask God that you will help us, Lord, to reflect your love for us, for me, towards my wife, towards my spouse. Lord, I want to ask, Lord, that you will come, Lord, and use the differences to make us more like you. And as we do, Lord, these differences, Lord, become a treasure, an opportunity to change, to grow. I thank you, God, that as we do so, Lord, our marriage, you will bless us in our marriages. You will bless us with more intimacy. You will bless us with more love. And most of all, more of you. God, I pray the same for us who are single, Lord. I pray that, Lord, that you would encourage us, Lord, to live for you. To live not for ourselves, but in a way that will honor you. Lord, that you will show us in our season how you want us to live for you. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will, for us as a church, Lord, help us, Lord, to embrace and love and encourage one another. Not by the way the world thinks, but the way you think. Thank you, God, that you are eternally more wise and powerful to us. And Lord, that we can trust you. Even though it doesn't make sense, we can trust you. And so, Lord, I pray for some of those who are here, Lord, that has to make difficult decisions, whether they're going to trust you or trust the world. Thank you, Lord, that only you are perfect. Only you are good. And all your ways are perfect. All your ways are good. And so, Lord, I pray that you will help us as a church to be a city on a hill that will be different to this world. In the way we love, the way we love you, and the way we love each other, so that you may be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for coming. May God bless you. If you need prayer, I'm going to be here. This will be for some facilitators here this morning. If you need some extra prayer, would love to pray with you. If you're going through a difficult marriage or you're in a difficult relationship, would love to pray with you. We just want a blessing. We're also here. For the rest of you, thank you so much for coming. Please join us with coffee and do not forget your children. Amen.